Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat. Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. Over the last few months, we've seen a lot of debates as to whether India is doing enough tests or not doing enough tests. I think the overwhelming scientific consensus now is that with a number of tests of 290 per million, India is definitely on the low end of the number of tests that need to be done. One really interesting way to look at the statistic is through something called the test positivity rate, or the TPR. Now, the TPR is a percentage of positive patients per number of tested samples. Now, ideally, if India had a test positivity rate of about 2%, that means that we're conducting so many tests per day that roughly 2%, which is a fairly representative sample, is actually positive. Another way to think about this is that right now, India is testing about 70,000 samples per day. But what we really need to be targeting is about 4.5 lakh samples per day. But there's obviously a lot of bottlenecks in us actually reaching that kind of capacity in being able to test. I mean, if you look at the number of tests we're doing right now, it will take about 6 months to test 1% of India's population. In the middle of a pandemic, such a low testing rate is absolutely disastrous because it means that a lot of people who actually have the disease are going to be walking around, continuing to spread it, are not going to be getting the healthcare that they actually need. Now, if we are to ramp up testing to the point where we're able to realistically keep testing 1% of India's population on a fairly frequent basis, thus developing a better monitoring system to see how the disease is spreading across the country, we're going to have to do a lot better. We're going to have to increase the number of testing kits that we have available, and we have to increase the number of labs that are actually accredited to conduct these tests. So to help us understand the various bottlenecks that India faces in its journey to increasing testing capacity, I have with me Dr. Shambhavi Naik. Hi, Doc.
Hey, Anirudh.
Doc, so you've recently come out with a document on how to improve COVID-19 testing for India. Can you please tell us briefly about what your key ideas are, and then we can like dive into them in a little more detail?
Right. So the first thing, obviously, is to ramp up testing capacity. I propose that we ramp it up to 450,000 samples per day, simply because getting to at least 1% of our population every month is a metric that will help us do a lot of other policy responses, pick up the recurring cases quickly, make sure that places which are hotspots are contained. So a lot of the responses will depend on detection of cases, and therefore increasing that capacity is paramount. Then there are obvious fixes within the availability of testing kits themselves that need attention. We obviously need a lot of indigenous manufacturing happening, as well as currently because of the emergency of the situation, we also need to have a clear streamlined procurement supply chain from foreign sources. Finally, there are some governance changes that will help increase testing capacity. So we might have the kits, but whether we have the infrastructure to actually do the test is another thing. So we need to have some governance changes there. And finally, I think we cannot just think about the fact that we are alone in this situation, because we are clearly not. This is a global pandemic. And there are other countries which may be counting on us either as a manufacturer of testing kits or use our testing capacity. Africa, for example, countries there which might not have the infrastructure to actually do the test could offload some of those tests to us. And it would help the world fight off this pandemic quicker. So basically, yeah, bottom line is we need to improve a lot on both testing kits and capacity.
Okay, so let's dive into each of those things in a little more detail. The first is that India has one of the lowest testing rates in the world. As I said when we started this podcast, at about 290 per million. It's absolutely ridiculous. So this figure of 1% as a representative sample, how is that arrived at, and how frequently do you think we need to be testing that 1% of the population to get a sense of how the disease is spreading?
Right. So the way we arrived at this 1% was looking at the test positivity rate. So the WHO says that you should be testing so much that your test positivity rate is below 10%. For example, in the US, it's currently 18.22%. So for every 100 people they sample, about 18 or 19 will be positive. In India, that is relatively low. It's 4.76%. But as you mentioned, countries in Southeast Asia, which have had to fight off SARS before, decided to benchmark their testing capacity at 3% TPR. So what I thought was that, look, let's look at the ideal situation, and we would like, give, because our healthcare systems, our on-the-ground situations are so different, let's try and achieve an idealistic 2% of this test positivity rate. To achieve that, we would need to test 1.2% of our population. At our current rate, that will obviously take 6 months, which is far longer point of time for us to be able to put in any rapid response measures at all. Ideally, we should be able to do this within a week or 2 weeks. But I've said that let's try and do this within a month, because that just sounds a bit more feasible. Wuhan, for example, I think announced that they are going to do tests for all of their 11 million population within 12 days. So, which is, I mean, 11 million in 12 days and 1 million in a month is extremely different metrics altogether, right? But I think that is achievable. I think it will allow us, particularly if we concentrate testing in areas of hotspots, it will allow us to put in the measures that are required to contain the spread of the disease.
That's a very interesting point. I was just thinking that given that the incubation rate of the virus seems like a little kind of fuzzy, that we're not exactly sure how long it takes between somebody getting infected and somebody actually showing symptoms of the disease, I would suspect that the faster we're able to test an entire or a representative sample of the population, the closer we can bring it to within that incubation period, the better we can get a sense of how the disease is spreading. Is that right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, just from a point of view of containment, the faster we do this within 14 days, the better it is. So 4.5 lakh is the minimum capacity we need to reach.
4.5 lakhs per day. Okay, fair enough. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of debate, a lot of controversy, in fact, quite early on when the pandemic was spreading in India, over the accreditation of kits, over the quality of kits that were coming from China. Can you tell us a little bit about what the situation exactly is in terms of testing kits? Where are India's testing kits coming from? And why is it that Indian manufacturers, especially like Indian medicos, which generally are on the cutting edge of like making generic pharma for the world and so on, why have they not been able to like really ramp up capacity of testing kits so far?
Right. So there are, at the bottom of there are two types of testing kits. One is the RT-PCR kit, which basically looks for the RNA in the sample, RNA of the virus. And second is the antibody testing kit, which looks for the antibody that the human body generates in response to the virus, right? So from what we understand, India is currently investing in both types of kits. The RT-PCR kit is a gold standard. WHO recommends using it. It detects live infection, so it detects the virus in the person's body. The antibody test, on the other hand, will test positive later on in the infection, so once your body starts generating antibodies against the virus, and the antibodies will stay for longer even after the virus is gone. So it doesn't automatically indicate that you have the infection currently. It just indicates that you may have had or currently have the infection. So if the antibody test comes positive, very likely you'll have to do an RT-PCR anyways to confirm whether you still have the infection and are still infectious. So those are the two kits. The antibody testing kit is actually not recommended by WHO as a diagnostic test currently. And there has been a lot of advisories from ICMR, which is the apex biomedical research body for India, on how we can use the antibody test. It could be used for community testing to see how much spread the virus might have had in the community over time, so the prevalence of the virus, but it doesn't help in telling you how many are live infections, and because this is a completely new virus, I don't think we have still even figured out how long we'll get immunity against it, right? So how long will those antibodies stay around? So interpreting the antibody test, is a little difficult. So for this time being, let's just focus on the RT-PCR kits, which are definitely going to be of use in the near future till we get this reliable antibody testing kit and we understand enough of the virus to figure out what that antibody, what the result from that antibody testing kit means, right? As you mentioned, we also had those problems of faulty kits, and that's just not, it's just not us. Spain returned a lot of faulty antibody testing kits from China. UK did as well. So there are a couple of companies which have now been blacklisted, whose antibody kits have been found to be faulty. There is an ongoing case and a lot of political turmoil over whether those kits work or whether they were not handled properly, etc., etc. But the antibody testing scenario is clearly a little debatable for now. So let's focus on the RT-PCR kits. As you said, the RT-PCR kits became a bottleneck very quickly because they have to be approved by ICMR for sale in India. For some point of time, ICMR also had a notification that said that they had to be approved by the US FDA, but that was quickly changed. But anything that has to be sold in India either has to have an ICMR approval or the approval of US FDA or CE-IVD. So those are bottlenecks. ICMR is trying to increase the number of labs who can actually approve of the kits once they have been created. But that is still a slow process. At one point of time, I think some of the premium institutions under Department of Biotechnology and Science and Technology went and told ICMR that, look, can we start having our own approval systems? Because we are premier institutions, you have invested a lot in us. So can we also start doing this to take some load off? So we'll have to wait and see how that situation sorts itself out. So that was one problem. Second, a lot of the reagents that go into the kits as components, the supply chain of that got blocked because of lockdowns across various nations. So the supply chains became a second issue. The third we know is about labor moving and people not being able to come to work, which was a third reason for why the immediate R&D and manufacture of kits kind of slowed down. So that those three came as first as one of the big problems into why we were not able to make a lot of kits ourselves. Really, we should be making more. I think we are catching up now. In the last week of April, we had about 37 RT-PCR kits which had been approved. Which have been validated, and 17 of them have been approved. ICMR's role in all of this is a little dicey because ICMR, I think, is trying to make their own kit as well. And technically, testing kits fall under the Drug and Cosmetic Act and so should be regulated by the CDSCO, which is a different agency under the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. But hopefully we will sort out all of these governance issues soon. The other problem that obviously we face is that there are cheaper kits which are available from, say, China or South Korea, which act as a disincentive for indigenous manufacturing. And the last thing that we know happened very early on was that because all positive samples were going to ICMR, a lot of the R&D labs could not access COVID positive samples to actually create the kits. So those were the major bottlenecks in creating testing kits.
So how do you propose we break them down? I mean, one immediate thing I can think of is, I mean, something that's already happening, right? If the ICMR were to allow more agencies to basically sign off on whether a kit is working or not, that's one way to solve the problem. But how do you solve the problem of getting access to reagents? How do you solve the problem of there being other more comparative manufacturers out there? How do you really incentivize Indians to produce more testing kits?
Right. So for improving indigenous manufacturing, what we have proposed is that, A, like you said, you appoint more institutions for the approval and certifying of the kits. And then you incentivize small research institutions to work with the bigger manufacturers. So, for example, one of the earliest kits that got approved was MyLab, which is a startup in Pune. And they immediately got into a partnership with Serum Institute to be able to mass scale manufacture the kits. I mean, I think they're still in the process of manufacturing, but still, if we need more of these partnerships going on, then there's also a proposal to reduce GST on them, on the kits itself, so that you reduce the cost and therefore you reduce, you make it more competitive cost for the end buyer. And finally, given the fact that there's going to be a long-term requirement of these kits, I mean, even in India and globally, we need to have a stockpile. This is part of the other document that, of the other proposal that Anirudh, you have also worked on with us, right? The preparing for the future.
Yeah, we have a new podcast on that coming out as well.
So, is to have a stockpile generated. I mean, we know we are going to need this. So, the government can actually invest in buying these kits right up front. And get into agreements, advanced purchase agreements with local manufacturers, which will give them the confidence of actually creating the kits and setting them off. So those will improve indigenous manufacturing.
What about the question of reagents? Like, is the issue that India cannot manufacture those reagents? Like, why is it that, like according to your slide doc, we still depend on China for even getting those reagents, let alone the testing kits. So is there a way for India to develop those reagents indigenously?
Yes, definitely. I think the minute we see increases in the testing components being assembled here, we will see an increase in the indigenous manufacturers of the testing components themselves. There's absolutely no reason why India cannot manufacture them on their own. The question might remain on standards and approval from the government structures so that they are up to par, but those can be easily sorted. I mean, we should be able to do this on our own.
Okay, fair enough. So let's say that we manage to iron out all these, all the various bottlenecks that we have, all the regulatory bottlenecks, manage to basically give manufacturers and researchers more confidence to actually get into the game seriously, right? The other big bottleneck in actually increasing the number of tests that we do is not just in getting the tests to the people who might have the disease, but also evaluating the results and making sure that we actually have a picture of whether these people are positive or not. So how many labs right now are actually out there doing tests so far? How do we increase that capacity?
Yeah, so our current capacity was 70,000 tests a day, and this was basically all NABL accredited private labs and labs under and select labs under DST and DBT were and all ICMR labs were allowed to do the testing. There's a basic infrastructure element to this, so you need to have a BSL 2 or 3 hood, which is a biosafety cabinet that prevents you from getting the infection. Till some stages of the testing, you need to perform all experiments within that facility, basically to protect yourself from getting the disease, right? So that is a limiting factor to how much we can scale. Currently, about private labs only on an average test about 16 to 18% of India's total testing capacity, which is pretty poor. I think that needs to go up. So that's where we are at. And as I said, that means significant improvement, particularly from the private sector coming in. I think the main challenges for the private sector have been a price cap. And again, governance changes, which have been temperamental at the best.
Okay, so my understanding of the situation in terms of at least in terms of charging for testing kits is, Doc, there's quite a loud outcry saying that testing should be made free. The Supreme Court, in its classic habit of constitutional overreach, has come out and said that the government should make sure that testing is free and all that. Now, just intuitively, I can see why people will be saying that. India's not a very rich country. There's an awful lot of people who otherwise would not be able to afford testing kits. But mandatorily, the government mandatorily declaring that testing should be free rarely works the way it's supposed to, because at the end of the day, somebody's got to pay the bills, right? Somebody's got to pay for the testing kit. Somebody's got to pay for the lab technicians who are going to be working on this. And I can imagine that saying that labs should be conducting this for free would be a great way to drive a lot of labs out of business, especially at a time when you actually need to have more private labs entering the system to help improve our capacity. So tell us a little bit about what actually goes into the cost of a testing kit, and are there better ways to make sure that testing is made cheaply and easily accessible to people who need it?
Right. So I think testing by itself has a lot of components to it, right? You need some person to go, either go collect a sample or have the facility where a prospective patient can come in and provide a sample. So then you need the PPE for that person, whoever is collecting the sample, because they are obviously exposing themselves to a lot of potentially positive people. Then we have the swabs that used in swarm, the sampling process, the media in which the sample, the bottle and the media in which the sample is stored till it is tested. Then obviously the utilities and the infrastructure that goes into the laboratories, the kits and reagents that are used. We have had a variety of prices for that, for the RT-PCR kits, ranging from 1200 to 3000 per kit for, so that's 96 reactions. Then for, if you're a private lab, then you have to have an accreditation, which costs about 1,000 rupees to 2 lakh rupees a year, depending on the lab size, to this annual fee. Then you have to pay people, and then you have to manage logistics as well of everything, and you have to report everything back to ICMR as well as to the patient, etc., etc. So when you say that we have a cost of a single sample, then all of these components have to get paid for. And it has been really tricky for private labs because first they were not allowed to do sampling at all. So ICMR had strict control over who actually did the testing. So, and private labs weren't part of that. Then a few weeks later, they allowed private labs, but only those which had NABL accreditation, to actually start with testing. But with that came the caveat that there has to be that there will be a price cap of 4,500 rupees per test. And they also said in the advisory that we would have to encourage private labs to allow this for free, do this for free. And then obviously there was a Supreme Court judgment where they observed that, hey, testing should be free and the government can, government may reimburse the cost of the testing afterwards. I think the first thing we need to figure out is that there is absolutely no concept of free testing, right? You know, in a government lab, does the testing, it is free to the person who's giving the sample, yes. But that, the cost doesn't go away, right? Anupam and I discussed this in another ATP episode, that this will show up later on in some subsidy that the government might not be able to provide because a lot of the money was used in these tests, right? And so if you say it should be provided free to everybody, it just basically means that that part of a future subsidy or a grant which could have been given for, say, COVID research or for the PDS scheme has been now taken away. And it might have been taken away to people who might have been able to afford paying for that service, right? So in that case, the idea that there's a free test is a complete misnomer. And then saying that, okay, we'll put a cap on it of 4,500. I mean, the PPE kit by itself costs about 1,000 rupees and a person can only wear it for a day or for a shift. So you can just imagine when you say the kit cost of 1,200 for 96 reactions, you have accreditation cost, you have to pay a person, you have to do get all the reagents that you require. 4,500 is actually not a lot of money. So that is a huge problem that private labs face. And so when the notification came out from ICMR saying that we'll allow private labs to test, a lot of people actually went ahead and said that they want to do testing. But then with the price cap, we have seen a fall in the number of private labs which offer testing. You can also, again, you can say that, like the Supreme Court said, that the government reimburse afterwards. But anyone who has worked with the government will know that the amount of time it takes for reimbursement is a lot. And you really can't keep operations running and paying people if you have nothing in the bank account. So from that perspective, this whole idea that we should have a price cap, that people might not be able to afford. I think people, I agree, if people are not able to afford, should have the option of going to a government lab and getting the test without paying for it themselves. But for anyone who can and want to, I don't see why they are being deprived of that option by putting extra pressure on private labs, especially when we need to increase our testing capacities.
Now, it's quite surprising to me how vocal, especially the middle classes who can actually afford these tests, are being about the cost of the tests. Like you see these pictures floating around on social media of various costs that labs are including, and a lot of outrage over how they're choosing to profiteer and profit gouge even in the middle of a pandemic. Would you say that rather than imposing a price cap, which can potentially mess with a whole bunch of operations and disincentivize private players from getting into this, Would you think setting a reasonable profit margin would be a better way to do that?
Right. So look, I'm not going to say that private labs are all holier than thou, right? They're not. I mean, they will try to make profit. I mean, they are a for-profit business, and I definitely do not recommend profiteering. We had this case of the antibody testing kits that were got from China. They were bought at 245 rupees a testing kit, and they were sold to the ICMR at 600 rupees because ICMR had capped testing kits at 600 rupees, and the intermediary companies who were basically suppliers contributed to 61% of the final cost to ICMR, which obviously raises a lot of questions on why we should be paying intermediaries who are passing on information so much when we can actually directly buy from the manufacturer at a much lower price. So yes, people will try to profit here. My recommendation would be to put a profit margin, put a limit on the profit margin. That will add to the bureaucracy of things, that will make audit a little more difficult, but I think that would allow organizations to work in a framework where they know that they can at least make a profit and continue working with operations in a more ethical manner. People will make profit. I mean, that's the entire idea of a for-profit institution. We can't expect people to make a loss because of a pandemic either. I mean, at the same time as we can't expect people to be profiteering, we can't expect them to give everything for free.
Fair enough. So let me just try to summarize all the big things you've talked about, and then you can weigh in if I've missed anything, right? So we need to be increasing India's testing capacity from 70,000 to about 4.5 lakh per day. The major bottlenecks in doing that are the fact that we don't have enough testing kits, and even if we did have enough testing kits, not enough labs are available to process all these samples. One of the reasons why we don't have enough testing kits is because of issues in the supply chain, the fact that manufacturers don't have the capacity or don't think it's viable for them to get into this business. And the way to solve that is by easing regulatory burdens, simplifying approval procedures, and using advanced purchase agreements so people have a little bit of financial reassurance that that getting into the space is viable. Then in terms of improving testing capacity, we really have to leverage the capacity of the private sector, and that we can do that by, once again, easing accreditation processes, simplifying the way that all that works, and also not forcing labs to do it for free, allowing them to make a reasonable profit margin. So overall, the picture that emerges is not that this is an insurmountable problem, but rather that there are a few bottlenecks that are holding India back from achieving the testing capacity it needs in order to be able to track the spread of COVID. And it's not as complicated as it might seem. It's quite a doable thing, especially within the space of the next few months when restrictions are being lifted and a second wave of infections might be on the horizon.
And a lot of these are policy changes which are not going to cost a lot or cause investment to be put in. But we really, really need to do this. I mean, this has to be the number one priority in the fight against COVID.
Well, let's hope the government is listening. On that note, thank you so much, Doc, for joining me, and thank you for listening to All Things Policy.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is at IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle at takshashilainst or our website takshashila.org.in.